I have a burden. I have a pretty heavy burden tonight. I brought this one home from home with me. Been concerned about it for a long time. So I ask your prayers that God will have his way. Amen. I believe I'll start with a scripture from Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 1, he says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." My burden tonight is, it concerns our hearts and how we, in our hearts, in our heart of hearts, deep in the hidden and the secret inner man, how we view the riches of this world. We live in a very prosperous time and have for all of my lifetime, probably if you were born in the late 40s and early 50s, all of your lifetime, there's probably been mostly the prosperity and plenty that this country has enjoyed for all of those years anyway. Before that time, there wasn't the large, prosperous middle class that pretty much we belong to. Talking about economics, because I don't class people as lower, higher, middle. We're all about as human as we can get. But he implies here in the word that there's something better than great riches. There's something better than having a store of silver or gold. Yes. And my burden tonight is that we as and I'm thinking even about children, because aspirations and ambitions and desires begin when we're children many times. It can begin when we're raised real poor. And we get a thought in our mind, when I get big, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to live like this. And I've seen people that are driven today in their 50s and 60s, and it began as a desire just like that. I'm going to better myself. I'm not going to live like I was raised. And I am going to be something, and I'm going to have things. And I've seen that become such a drive that I know an individual today that person has very few real friends. That person has very few, if any, close family that will love that person. But there is one drive in that person's life, and that is either to have something or to be thought of as having something in this world. To look like it if it's not in reality, but just to have that appearance, just to have that, just the grasping mentality that I've seen in that person, who would really, all people have good qualities about them, but that frame of mind that person has nearly squashed everything in their lives. And they don't enjoy what this verse just said. A good name, they don't enjoy that. Probably their name in many of their acquaintances is thought of with a little disgust and a little uncomfortable thoughts. They're not a person that lots of people like to be around. And that's been a great sorrow to me, because I'm that person's friend. And one time that person told me, "Y'all are some of our only friends." And that's sad. It would be better to not have all the things that they have grabbed for many, many years. And put that ahead of even God, and I know that to be true, although they have a profession. So I've seen it in reality how sad it can be that they have chosen riches over a good name and loving favor of people. I believe Jesus pointed us to something better also. And let's look over here. Mark chapter 8. I want to look here. Now this gives us a comparison. And if you could bring me a songbook again, I'm sorry to, but I'd like to look at a verse of song that really helps this scripture to me to be more clear. Let's start with 8 and 34. When he had called a people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I've pondered over that and I felt like I knew what it meant. But the song number 466A has a verse in it that really explains that. He says, to buy a soul, what would you give in exchange? Just think about that question. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's talking about worth. It's talking about comparison. Which is better? Is wealth better or the salvation of your soul better? If you could accumulate all the world, but you lost your soul, which is better? Which would be more important to you at the end? At the end of your days, if you had salvation or if you had great riches, or were thought of to have great riches. Some people just like to keep up appearances. They like to dress like it. They like to drive like it. They like to live like it. They want that reputation. But wouldn't you rather have a reputation of that is a kind person? That is a special, compassionate person. That is a person who will give you anything. Or would you really want to have the reputation among friends, family, sinners outside the saints? Would you rather have the reputation as, well, she is really a dresser. She can really put on the fashionable clothes. But she's so grumpy. She's so hard to deal with. Which would you rather have? That impression that you give people, it goes before us. When we begin to obtain a reputation of, they're just a little grabby. They're just, you know, they're out for the buck. They're out for the almighty dollar. People begin to know that about us. That's an awful reputation to have, especially if you profess salvation and especially if you profess holiness. That's a reputation that the Bible says it's not very good. He said, "What to buy a soul, what would you give in exchange? Is there anything that you could buy a soul with? Is there anything that when you got to the end and you didn't have salvation, is there any money that you could offer and say, here, I'll take this, just save my soul. It can't be done." In Psalms chapter 49, we can read that. It says in verse 6, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, None of them can by any means redeem his brother. And Jesus was talking mostly individually about your soul, but just think about now, if you have the boast in yourself and you have that sense of pride that you've got such and such, you've worked hard for it, you've accumulated, you've made the right decisions, you've got goods laid up for many years, and you hardly know what to do and how to invest because it's just coming in, and there are people like that. Just like the story that Jesus told, and we may go there, but if someone was right next to you and they were dying, they were breathing their last breath, how much could you give God and say, take this and save them before they die? Can't be done, can it?
No.
Then why do we put such importance on it? Why do we live like it is really important? Why do we, as young people and children, many times think, if I could only be rich, if I could only have this kind of car, if I could only live in that kind of house, then I'll be happy. Jesus called that by a name. He said that's the deceitfulness of riches. It's deceived you already as a young person or a child to think that if you could do that, you would be happy. It's already deceived you because it can't be done. It's not good enough to save a soul. It's not good enough to place our priorities on either. It's not good enough to dream about and to wish for. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Skip the parentheses there and go on and complete the thought in verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. I know a man we've done some work for. He's a very wealthy man. He made his wealth in the liquor business. He called Dan one day and said, my mother went in for a surgery for her, just a simple surgery in her colon. And there was strife in the family. His sister and he had words, and he didn't want his sister there, but she got there first. And she didn't know what had got, she didn't know really what was going on, and the hospital made a mistake. And they took the woman to recovery instead of, no, they took her to a room where there would be therapy instead of recovery from an incision like she just had. And the next morning they got her up and began intense therapy on her. And the incision burst. And in just a few minutes, she was on life support. And while, before he could get there, the sister with whom he was and at odds with, told him, Mom wouldn't want to stay like this. Turn her off. She had in mind for the family fortune. That man was so mad and so angry. He said, I never, ever want to see her again. But in the whole problem, we went to the funeral. It was just so sad. The slideshow that they showed the lucrative lifestyle, the lavish lifestyle, the vacations in the south and on the coast and all of the things that those people did. But there was nothing to save her life. There was nothing that could be done. He could have thrown his whole estate, which is a big one, at that. And it wouldn't have ever helped her. She was gone, and he was filled with, the family was torn up, and I doubt if he and his sister have talked to each other since. What a sad thing when people base their lives on the pursuit of more of this world. I'm not going to call it the pursuit of riches because in so many ways, it's more subtle than that. We don't tell ourselves, I want to be rich. But what we tell ourselves is, I want people to think of me as having something. I want to look like it. I want that image. And I just want that. And there's so many things that they get a hold of our minds as young people, and we start striving for it. I want to just warn you, don't go to university or college simply because you want to make more money. Don't do that. Give your life to God.
Amen.
Give yourself to Him to be a vessel. If He wants to cause you to be someone who makes a lot, it's going to be because He wants you to be a channel.
Yes.
And for you to be able to have something to give. Yes. The whole tenor of the scriptures is toward that. He didn't make people, His people, who were wealthy. Let me say this. God didn't intend for all of His children to be poverty stricken. He spoke to the wealthy and let the wealthy know what He expected of them. For them to be people who would give. And that's why He blesses people. That's why we're blessed. Any of us who have anything, the reason why God gave it to us is not for us to pile it up. It's not for us to use it to buy things to make us look grand. It's not for our appearance in this world. There are things that are more important than looking like you have something. Love and kindness. A happy home. Children that know Daddy's not just after everything. Daddy stays and plays with me. Daddy takes us places that are fun. Daddy, He loves me more than He loves His job. And I understand about jobs. I didn't always understand about jobs. But with a man, and I understand this, he's got to work until it's done. Because being done means that's when he gets paid. And many times we as women, we get resentful of our husbands working. And we do. And we think, why is he working all the time? He's got to get a job done. Our work is always there. You know the old saying, woman's work is never done. But we can go to bed and it'll be there when we get up in the morning. And our living doesn't depend on us getting the sink full of dishes done. But our husbands, they've got to get their job done. When I understood that, finally, it just helped me so much. So we mustn't think that, well, because he's working 12 hours a day, that he loves money and that's why he's doing that. And I understand now. But we have to guard our hearts. Many times our wants and our wishes are why he's working so hard. He heard us say, I need a new couch. Or, I want a new couch. And so he's saying, well, I've got to get on another job or whatever. You know what I'm saying? These are human things. These are things that we think in our minds. And it's not wrong to want a new couch. Couches get dirty and dingy looking and they get saggy and sometimes you just would like a new color. I know I'm like that too. But where are our hearts? Do we want something new or we want something more? Because inside of us, there's something that just says, I want this appearance in the world. I want to have this. It makes me feel, it does something for it. And we think it'll satisfy me, but you know what? It doesn't satisfy. It really doesn't satisfy. God wants to be the satisfaction of our souls. He wants us to crave Him. He wants us to crave after Him, to long after Him, to turn to Him for solace and for comfort and never to the things of this world. What else is better than riches? Ecclesiastes talks about it just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm not wanting that, but it does. I want Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. The verse before it said that love has a vehement flame. And I believe it was Brother Clint at a wedding that said, love is the flame of God. It is His presence, His essence. It is God. It's a flame. And it says, love has a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. That's why love is better than riches. And we have that in the book of Proverbs many times. It's better to have a little with righteousness than great treasure and strife therewith. There's about three or four verses that say that thought in the book of Proverbs. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. It's better to eat a dinner of vegetables, he said, than have a steer and have strife in the home. You cannot buy love with money. You can have love without money. You really can. I remember my grandmother told me, helped me with that, about how much Grandpa made when they were first married. And they lived in a little house that the chickens ran under the floor and you could see the ground underneath through the cracks. And Grandpa was making $1 a day, I believe is what, or was it $1 a week? I can't hardly believe it was $1 a week because I just can't put my mind around that. It was $1 a day. And Grandma said, she always said, honey, no matter how little you make, always put away a little. She said, we made $1 a day and we managed to put away just a few pennies each week. But anyway, Grandpa was saved during those days. And she said, those were the happiest days of my life. And when I think about that, a house with cracks in the floor and the chickens underneath, it was 1929 during the Depression. And I think she said, those were the happiest days of our life. Because later, I'm sorry, Grandpa lost his faith and his peace in God. And they lived a long time with him in that condition. He was a good man. I had a lot of respect for him, but he didn't know Jesus until maybe, I hope, the very last he found Jesus again. But there's something better. There's something more. And I don't really understand this message and why the Lord gave it to me. But I just come to know that, and I have a burden for the young people as you're starting out. Before you get entangled, before you get a grasping and grabbing attitude and thought, while you're still young, put the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't feel like that your happiness lies in a bigger house. You know, there was a time in our early marriage we lived in a travel trailer. And I can say those were happy days. I loved that little place. I was sad to sell it. We had to sell it to move to Kentucky. And if there's anything I was nostalgic about, it was that little Airstream trailer. I loved that little place. It had many happy memories in it. 22 feet long and no pullouts. It was just wonderful. And I know the Lord has sent better things our way, but in a way, just whatever He has sent, if He was in our lives and He was the one that was fulfilling it, then we were happy. And we've been happy in an unfinished house, and we've been happy in a bus. I thank the Lord we've been happy next to 100 dogs. Situations and circumstances and things do not make us happy. Jesus makes us happy.
Amen.
People aren't our happiness either. I'll tell you what's great gain. Let's look at that scripture. What is true riches? Lord, help us to look. Don't I sound like my daddy? Lord, help us to search for the true riches. The true riches. I'm wanting the scripture that says something about godliness. I believe it's, here, 1 Timothy 6. Verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment, that's great gain. That's the true riches. Then there's another scripture, Luke 16. He talks about people who aren't faithful in the mammon of this world. And it's like that is not the important thing. And true, that's what he's saying. Verse 11, Luke 16. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So that is a comparison there of the true riches versus the mammon or the money of this world. I'm going to go back to 1 Timothy 6 in just a minute. I want to go to Luke 12. This is the parable. No, is it a parable? It was a story of someone that Jesus knew. I believe that's a better way to say it. Well, he did say it's a parable. Verse 16, okay. He spake a parable unto them, Luke 12 and 16, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. Well, I want to get what he said before that. Let's go to 13. That's what I really want. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Jesus had another request one time, talk to my sister. Well, this one is, talk to my brother. You're the one that can get a hold of him. Nobody can talk to him. But that's not what Jesus was about. Speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Oh, that's so true. And okay, tonight it's so easy for us to say, yes, Lord, amen, that's true. But do we really believe that? Or do we have a thought, if I just had more, if I just had this, if I just had that, then I would be happy. If I just had that house. Oh, I just wish I had that tractor. I wish I had that car. Or I wish I had that tool. Oh, if I just had a truck. And I want my truck to look like this. I know that's a boy. And nowadays, girls like trucks too. There are these things that are just people things. But let's watch our hearts. Let's just watch our hearts. Lord, is my heart down inside, I believe that my life does consist in the abundance of things that I possess. Is that in my spirit? Do I breathe that out? Is that how I approach going to work? Is that how I look at everything that I do? I want more. I want this. I want that. But he said, your life is much more than that. Verse 23, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. God can take care of giving you breath. He can take care of giving your body safety, health, and strength. He can surely provide for us. Underneath all of this, I want to tell you what lies underneath the whole business of covetousness. It's unbelief. It's a lack of trust in God that He will take care of me. Jesus said, when you've been praying, after you've said, now I'm just paraphrasing, but what was first in the prayer that the manner of the prayer that He gave us? What was first? Our Father. God is first, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God is first. Yes. Then how did it go?
On earth.
Yeah, God, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then give us. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. You see how he put that? Him first, His name, His praise, His kingdom, and then my needs. That's really where He wants our hearts. He wants us, and He said this, you put me first, you seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you. Do we really believe that? Young people, do you really believe that if you'll give your life to the Lord, that He'll provide your needs? I call my dad as witness. He got to that crossroads in his life. He was 18. He had many gifts and talents. He could have been in the music industry and made it big. He could have been, he loved drafting and was good at it. His intention at one time and his father's dream for him was to be an architect. Not a menial labor, but a white-collar worker. Somebody that could do it, be in a suit and go to an office. I'm sure that that was a real drawing to the flesh. To do something, to make himself something. But what happened? Daddy heard the call of God. He was 18. He gave his heart and life to the Lord. In a few months, he dedicated his life to the Lord and asked God to fill him with His Spirit, and He did. And shortly after that, the Lord called him to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And he gave his life to that.
Yes.
And maybe somebody could say, what a waste of a good man. Can we say that this evening? There's no waste. There is true riches. And that became his theme in life.
Yes.
Don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay up treasure toward God. We heard that many times, did we not?
Yes, amen.
Did the Lord take care of him? I remember in the fourth grade, I went to school. One time, one of my teachers said, you girls wear the cutest clothes. And I thought, they're all hand-me-downs. Sister Bertha would make clothes for Connie and Cindy, and then when she was through with them, she'd give them to us. So we had an expert seamstress that made all of our clothes. We lived like rich girls. It was only later in my adulthood that I was reading one time about poverty levels, what constituted the poverty level. And at that time it said an income under 13,000 or something. It's a lot more than that now. But I thought, I figure we made a lot less than that. I didn't know we lived in poverty. It never had dawned on me. We had all we needed. We had no, and no one worried about it. My mother would sew for us too. When I think of those things, I think the Lord just, He took care of us. We had loving people in the congregation who had purchased cars for my parents. They never went without a good vehicle. And He lived by faith. He was not a lazy man. He worked at his job, which was feeding souls.
That's right.
He got up early and went to work. He went down on his knees and prayed down the messages. He went and prayed for the sick. He would travel where you wanted him to travel. He would go across town and fix oatmeal for an old man every day and bologna sandwiches for lunch and go and cut another man's toenails that was too heavy to get down and do it. And he would give to those who asked of him. Sometimes when we told him, Daddy, don't do that. And he would. He lived completely for others. He went to the nursing home 2 times a week and sang to the residents there. But they owned their own home.
Yes.
When they sold it, they had enough to make a little apartment when they were for their old age before Daddy died. Mm-hmm. When I think about that and I think how people scrape and labor to have that, and all Daddy did was give his life to the Lord and let the Lord lead him. I remember one time my dad told me, he said, give your pocketbook to the Lord, and when you need something, he'll put it in there.
Amen.
That's what he told me. He had been called to a meeting, I think, in the Northwest or in Florida. I can't remember which one it was that he talked to me about. And I said, Daddy, you got to buy a plane ticket. He said, oh, the Lord will provide. And he did. It didn't matter whether it was $5 or $500. Daddy didn't worry about it. It just came from somewhere, and he used it and then went on to the next.
That's right.
It's been a great challenge to me. Whenever my husband and I got married, even before we got married, we took a look around, and we talked about it very seriously, and we said, you know, let's not grow old and get rich. Let's go work for the Lord. Okay. Yeah, that's what we want to do. When we moved to Kentucky, he and Philip had just got a cabinet door business going and had set up, got the tools ready to go, and the Lord called us to Kentucky. So we divided up stuff and we went out like Abraham, not knowing where we were going. We didn't know where we were going to live, and we didn't know where he was going to work. But the Lord made a place for us. And we didn't know he was going to be sick most of the time that we lived there, so that he couldn't work on a regular job. But the Lord provided. The Lord has provided everything and is still providing. Oh, what a wonderful... There are so more important things than getting more of this world. There is just so many more special things, good things. A reputation of someone who helps and someone who's there for you. I heard a young wife say, and this actually has put this burden on my heart. She said, I got to thinking about it. And she said, what do I want my children to know me of as? She said, do I want my children to know me as a mom that always was trying to get a bargain? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, and she wasn't either. But she said, I want my children to know me as a loving mother, more than that. She said, I don't want that to be the focus of my life. And that really stirred me. Lord, I want you to be the focus of my life. I think we were going to go back to 1 Timothy 6. Bear with me just a little bit. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. But we sometimes live that way and think that way, but we don't realize it. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, and that's why I said this is more than talking about those who are wealthy tonight. It's those of us who may not feel like we are, but oh, we wish so bad we were. That's what this verse is talking about. Oh, if I just had this. Oh, if I just had that. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, and that word is not just money there, it's the love of gain. The love of having more. A love for it. An affection for it. A drive for it. Attention to it. That's my mind. I want more. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I've noticed that when people get lean in their souls, one of the first signs is that they begin to turn more toward wanting more of this world. It'll happen. It'll happen to a preacher. A preacher and his wife or her husband. They could become money focused. Oh, I wish. Down in the bosom, a rankling. I just wish we had more. I just wish. Can't you? You know, if the Lord's calling your husband to the ministry, be contented to trust God. And my mother was a good example of that. But see how the Lord has provided for her. We don't have many of those left in the world. That kind of consecration. Lord, I just want to put you first. I just want you to be, you control what we have. If I need something, I want you to give it. I remember the Lord, pardon me for too many personal testimonies. I don't want to be annoying. But I told this the other night at prayer meeting, and it was a blessing to me again. But before we moved to Kentucky, my husband was working right here in Edmond for a very wealthy couple doing their trim in one of these fine homes here. This couple was very wealthy. And you get to know people when you're working for them. And we learned that they may have been wealthy, but they sure didn't have happiness or peace, poor people. Anyway, I needed some things. We had just had a baby, and we had a toddler. And I had some things before the Lord that I would like. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to pray about it. We had just put the baby into the bed that the toddler had occupied, and I said, Lord, I need a nice little bedspread for the twin bed that Joseph's going on. And we need a new car seat for the baby. And I would really like a little bike for Joseph. And you're going to laugh at this, but this really happened. I was putting books away and seemed like they kept falling over in the bookcase. And I said, I need some good bookends. Now, I prayed about these four things. And I don't know how long it was. I just remember just saying, I'm just going to pray about it. Like, it was kind of new for me to do that. But I knew that it wasn't something that I could just go out and get right then, at least the combination of all those things at one time. Well, Dan came home one day from that job, and he got out of the back of his truck the cutest little Schwinn bicycle with training wheels, and he said, look what they gave me. And little Joseph just hopped on that thing. It was so wonderful. A Schwinn, right? To me, that was like a really good brand. And it was just nearly new. So he said, well, I got something else in there she gave me. So he went and he brought in a car seat. He brought in a new car seat. I said, I've been praying about that. He said, well, she sent this sack of stuff too. There were some things in there But down in there was this beautiful quilt from Spiegel. It was alphabet. It had an apple and I remember one thing, it had a jet for J. It was red. It was just perfect for a little boy. It was twin size. It was just, it was quality. And I want to tell you something. They still use it. It was Joseph's cover. He'd haul it around on trips. I mean, that cover is still going. It's pretty raggedy by now. That was 28 years ago. And I dug down in that sack, and would you believe, there were some little metal bookends in that sack. That has impressed me. God really impressed me. That if I need anything, I just need to pray about it. And pray to Him in detail. Lord, this is what I need. I really need this. And those things were all things I needed. That's just really, really impressed me the rest of my life. I hate to even have to leave that and go back to this awful verse about the problems of the rich, but I do need to cover that a little bit. It says, the love of money or the love of gain is the root of all evil. You think about the dishonesty in our world?
Yes.
You think about the corporate dishonesty? You think about dishonesty that trickles all the way down to people who have figured out how to cheat the system here and there. People who have dipped into this and that and this and that, and what is the root behind that? It's dishonesty. It's the love of money, the love of gain. The abortion industry. In fact, the medical industry at large. It's just sick with the love of gain. There are so many unnecessary surgeries and medications that are pushed on people, and back of it all is the dollar. It is sad. It is ruining our society. You look at what some of the new buildings that go up. In many years, I've noticed this. Banks and drug stores. They're on every corner. And what's driving all that? Somebody's getting rich. Somebody is extorting somebody else. It is sad. Seemed like there were other things. It's been eye-opening to see the corruption that goes on. There's a lot of it in the churches. A lot of the preachers. Dan one time was on a plane flight going to a job, and he sat next to a man, and another man was talking to him. And he said, I've decided to start a church. It's a good business. He just freely talked about it, just like that. I found out you can make a lot of money starting a church, he said. I would have been so embarrassed. But there's so much of it in the world. Just about every wickedness that you could think of, back behind it is the love of gain, the love of money. It is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's been the cause of many a divorce. I think that money matters are the number one cause of divorce. One of them, and there may be another high reason, but one of them up there at the top is money. He said in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Here we have what God wants us to do. He wants us to not have that thread of unbelief that says, I've got to take care of myself. God can't take care of me. So we put our trust in something that is uncertain. Now that's not really smart. It's wiser to put our trust in something that is certain. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Don't trust in uncertain riches. I believe, isn't there a scripture in the Psalms that says, or the Proverbs, that says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And he said, for riches make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle to heaven. Now, we know how that is. You get just a little bit and your washer goes out. There goes the wings. He said, you don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. All I need to do is just think about that red quilt and that little Schwinn bicycle. And I'm reminded again, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. And here's another thing he said, that they do good works, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now this is, it says, charge them that are rich in this world. And I said the other night that riches is a relative term, but in comparison to the Bible people, we are the rich man, of whom Jesus said, it'd be harder for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for this kind of man to enter heaven. We're all in that class. And we may say, no, I don't have... But we are. You look at our homes. We have nice homes. And so we've got to press. We've got to earnestly seek to enter the kingdom of God, because this one thing right here is a big thing in our lives that will drag us down. And so that's why we've got to press. But he said here, if you are rich, this is what he wants you to do. This word, ready to distribute, it means good at imparting and willing to share with others. Then he goes on and says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. And I think he's looking back to what Jesus had said in Luke 16 when he said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And again, he said in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up... Did I say that right? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. What is he speaking in these three verses? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, and make to yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness, and lay up treasures in heaven. What is he saying? Have you ever thought about it? I can give you my little thought. It may not be as profound as some, but my little thought would be, use what God has given to me to help others and to help the gospel to go forth. And when that happens, that's treasures that I lay up in heaven. And it's people that get to go to heaven because I help them. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that goes there and they'll be happy to see me in heaven. Now that may not be what it is at all, but to me that makes a lot of sense. A good name. Someone who says, yes, that's the person that helped me. Amen. That's the person who showed the compassion and the love of God to me. I used what God gave me physically and temporally to help that person to have a heart toward God. And if I was grabby and they only knew me, yeah, they go to the church of God, but you better watch them or they might just cheat you. That person is not going to be very happy to see me in heaven. And that's not a real thought, really, because I'm probably not going to go there. And if that person is not going to Christ, they won't be there either. But what I'm saying is the thought of it. You understand the thought of it. Use what God has given to you to bless and help people, eternal souls, and to do good in eternal things, to lay up treasures in heaven. That's more important than all the treasures of this earth. Do whatever we can do with what God has given us to provide and help others. I remember that's how my grandparents lived. My grandpa Hiram. He just lived to give people stuff. Washers and dryers and vehicles and who knows, vacuum cleaners and somebody have a need and he hear about it quietly with no show. All of a sudden here would appear a new washer. What is that? That makes, to me, that's an embodiment of this verse that I started with, a good name. He could have kept those hundreds of dollars and had piled it up and saved it up, and then at his death, somebody would have had to take care of it. And he just doled it out and helped people and gained a good name with that. And I don't know, that just answers that question. What in the world does he mean by that? When I think about people who are in eternity because someone took the time, took the money, whatever it was, and helped them. Amen.